This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott.
We each have an unsocial, taciturn disposition. I'm willing to speak unless we expect to say something that will amaze the whole room.
This is no very striking resemblance of your own character, I'm sure.
A bit of the smoldering chemistry there between Mr. Darcy and Elizabeth Bennet, played by Colin Firth and Jennifer Ely in the BBC's 1995 adaptation of Pride and Prejudice. This year marks the 200th anniversary of publication of Jane Austen's most celebrated novel, in which Miss Bennet discovers her true love in a man she first thought of as a conceited adversary. Austen's novels have inspired countless film and TV adaptations and fan clubs and even monster and zombie parodies. A new addition to the study of all things Austen is Jane Austen, Game Theorist. It's written by UCLA political scientist Michael Che. The book proposes that Austen laid the philosophical groundwork for the theory of strategic action known as game theory. Here to help us understand is Jennifer Schussler of the New York Times. She recently wrote about the book. Jennifer, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Hi, Virginia.
Hi there. Well, before we jump into this new look at Jane Austen, how about a quick primer on game theory?
Well, game theory is the quantitative science of strategic thinking. It is commonly seen as having been founded by the Cold War mathematician and strategist John von Neumann in 1944 with his book, Theory of Games and Economic Behavior. And basically the idea here is that game theory looks at the way people act to maximize their own interests, not thinking just about what they want and how they're going to get it, but thinking also about what their opponent wants, what their opponent is going to do first, and what their opponent thinks they're going to do. And this is a very math-heavy discipline. It's sort of been adopted all over the place. But I have to say, I do think that Michael Che is the first person to apply it to literature.
Well, in popular culture, a lot of people may have heard of game theory from John Forbes Nash of A Beautiful Mind fame.
But exactly.
I'm wondering, like, which disciplines use game theory?
Well, it's really all over the place. I mean, you can read biologists who will look at it to study the way predator and prey interact with each other, and when for instance, when a lion decides it's worth it to chase a gazelle, or whether to expend the energy to do it, or whether the gazelle is going to outwit it. It's huge in political science, Professor Che's discipline, where it's somewhat controversial. Not everybody appreciates the way it sort of assigns numbers to everything, and then looks at everything from the way protest movements unfold to nuclear brinkmanship, this kind of thing. People also use it to look at stock market trading, all sorts of things. So it's really all over the place. But again, I think Che is really a pioneer in trying to apply it in a quite hard-headed and specific way to Jane Austen.
How did he become interested in Jane Austen?
Well, he told me, I believe he's in his late 40s, that until about maybe 7 or 8 years ago, he had never read Jane Austen. And it was family movie night. He sat down with his kids to watch Clueless, you know, the kind of great 90s
movie. Right. Emma adaptation.
Exactly, Alicia Silverstone. And he, you know, what he said to me is, you know, I was really amazed. You know, this movie was entirely about manipulation. You know, he had always thought it was a big mathematical thing, but, you know, he realized that people had been thinking about strategic manipulation in a kind of very detailed way for a long time, and that Jane Austen seemed to have an unusually acute understanding. So he said he sat down, he read all the novels, he started reading all sorts of literary criticism, and then he really did his homework, and he came up with this quite math-heavy book, which I should be clear is aimed very much at his fellow political scientists.
Well, I was wondering about that. It's full of diagrams and things, isn't it?
Exactly. I don't want to stomp on anybody's book sales, but I do think that your average Jane Austen fan might want to wait for the movie version of Jane Austen Game Theorist, because it's a little bit tough going,
well,
but very interesting.
He goes so far as to claim that Austen is the uncredited founder of game theory. Now, why does he think she was using it or maybe even created it?
Well, to be clear, he doesn't argue that she knew what game theory was or, you know, had this name for it or anything, but just that she is, you know, one of the uncredited founders, because he said, you know, it's not just that he thinks that she was very deliberately looking at the way, looking at strategic action and the way these sorts of games unfolded. And he identifies, I believe it's something like 50 separate strategic manipulations, many of which are not even really central to the plots. And what he says is, look, she wouldn't have included some of this stuff in these books if she wasn't kind of trying to work out these problems. And one quite interesting aspect of this is he claims that she didn't merely anticipate some things that people like John von Neumann and others went on to develop, but she actually developed some insights that other people have so far failed to equal or replicate. For example, he offers this concept which he calls cluelessness, which isn't just a funny play on the title of the movie, but he thinks this is actually a concept that Austin understood that is sort of ignored by contemporary game theorists.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, I was thinking that, you know, you mentioned Clueless is the name of the film, which was an adaptation of Austen's Emma. But there's a scene in Pride and Prejudice, and we're going to play a scene from the 2000 film adaptation of it. Keira Knightley here as Elizabeth Bennet, Dame Judi Dench as Lady Catherine de Bourgh, who is confronting Elizabeth about a rumor that displeases her. Let's listen.
Has my nephew made you an offer of marriage?
Your ladyship has declared it to be impossible.
Let me be understood. Mr. Darcy is engaged to my daughter. Now what have you to say?
Only this. If that is the case, you can have no reason to suppose he would make an offer to me.
You selfish girl! This union has been planned since their infancy. Do you think it can be prevented by a young woman of inferior birth? Now tell me once and for all, are you engaged to him?
I am not.
And will you promise never to enter into such an engagement?
I will not, and I certainly never shall.
So how does that demonstrate the strategy of cluelessness, Jenny?
Well, according to Che, Elizabeth Bennet is doing in that scene is she is refusing to promise that she will never get engaged to Mr. Darcy. And what Che argues is that Lady Catherine de Bourgh here is being what he calls clueless, because what happens is sometimes a stronger party in an interaction with a weaker party doesn't really think it has to take that weaker party seriously. So it doesn't think that that weaker party might actually be very cleverly trying to manipulate the stronger party. So what Lady Catherine de Bourgh doesn't really realize is that she will go back to Mr. Darcy and say that insolent Elizabeth Bennet, she refused to promise that she wouldn't marry you, that this shows that she doesn't know her place, etc. But what Lady Catherine de Bourgh doesn't realize is that she has indirectly passed along a signal to Mr. Darcy, which suggests to him that Elizabeth is still interested in him, even though she has claimed to him she is not. So, you know, Chad doesn't quite say that Lizzie is doing this consciously or deliberately, but effectively that's what happens. So because of Lady Catherine's cluelessness, Elizabeth is able to advance her own cause.
We're talking about Jane Austen as game theorist. That's the subject of a new book by UCLA political scientist Michael Che. Our guest is New York Times writer Jennifer Schussler, who's written several stories about Jane Austen on this 200th anniversary year, including a piece about this idea. You mentioned the 50 strategic manipulations. We, of course, talked about some of the diagram-heavy terms of this book, and he uses things like zero-sum, risk dominance. Don't Jane Austen fans already know that Jane Austen was a brilliant strategian?
I think they do, and the literary scholars I spoke to about this, they appreciated the book, they appreciated the effort, but they said, you know what, this is really only going to be news to the political scientists. They might be the ones who are a little clueless. But one of my favorite responses to the book so far came from Jane Austen herself, or at least from a Scientific American blogger channeling Jane Austen, who wrote an open letter to him saying, you know, dear sir, you flatter me. I do not merit attribution for these ideas. They are entirely your own. I am not capable of such acute analysis. But I am exceedingly and selfishly glad that readers who can match your cleverness are rare in number. Otherwise, I fear people would spend more time reading books about my books than reading my novels themselves.
Jennifer Schussler writes about books and culture for the New York Times. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Virginia.
We do have a link to her article and more on Michael Che's book, Jane Austen, Game Theorist. That's all on our Facebook page. We've also posted some videos that we found worth sharing, an animated adaptation of Pride and Prejudice in just 2 minutes, and some memes paying tribute to the BBC series, including a famous scene that made Colin Firth's career. I'll just say it. It involves him going swimming in a shirt. Stay with us for a conversation with New Hampshire poet and now Pulitzer Prize-winning poet. Sharon Olds joins me in the studio. That's coming up in just a minute when Word of Mouth continues.